Welcome to another edition of Flea Market Fantasy, the world's second greatest Bronze Age era comic book podcast. Joining me as always is new Michael, Kevin Jank.
But how is Jarvis doing? Won't somebody please tell me?
Yeah, this is tonight we'll be reading Avengers issue 277, and this is the last installment of the Under Siege story arc from 1986. And during this storyline, Jarvis gets the hell beat out of him by Mr. Hyde.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah, that's tough. Mr. Hyde's a tough character. And yeah. Jarvis is a frail old man. So how he lived through that, I don't know.
He beats the holy hell out of him. And so that's what we'll talk about tonight. The Avengers Under Siege. You said you were familiar with this story when I mentioned it last week.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it's a famous story. I've never actually sat down to read it, but I certainly knew all about it. I read the Thunderbolts. They obviously mentioned it there quite a bit.
Yeah, see, I don't know anything about the Thunderbolts, so you can fill me in on that as we go. But when I was a kid, I bought the Avengers for a brief period of time, but it was right after this storyline.
Ooh. So,
yeah, I think
bad time to game. Right as Dr. Druid's becoming a big part of the team. That's when you're like, exactly this right. Is my time.
When I started reading it, Dr. Druid was there. I think I started around 281, somewhere around there. And I had maybe about a year's worth or so of them. But, yes, I
clearly you were not as big a fan as you were of the X-Men.
Well, I can't remember. I think I was just looking for something there. Because in my heyday when I was a kid, I was getting like 12 books a month, I think. 11, 12.
Yeah. That's how I was for sure.
I think I was just looking for something new, maybe. And so I gave the Avengers a run there. Because I didn't even like anyone on this team. I mean, I like Captain America, but other than that, none of these people were really.
Yeah. A lot of scrubs.
We'll get into that. But before we do, let's remind everybody, if you're watching us on YouTube, please like and subscribe. We are up to 142 subscribers. I can't remember the exact number we were last, but that's a pretty good bump. So, yeah, and again, our goal is 500.
Yeah. We'll get there. Before the subterranean lizard people take over the world,
I don't know if we'll get there, but we'll go down swinging. So thanks for everyone's support. We appreciate it. All right, so Avengers 277, like we said, this is from the creative team of Roger Stern is the writer.
Mm-hmm.
And we've discussed Roger Stern here on the show before. In fact, he was the writer in episode one of Flea Market Fantasy when we did Captain America way back when.
Yeah.
And he had a nice run
of that. I almost picked a Roger Stern comic for next week, but I'm going to hold off for now.
Oh, space out the Stern. Yep. But he's a fine comic book writer. He had a hell of a run on Captain America, and then he had a pretty extended run here on Avengers as well. Let me see. I did write it down here. Yeah, his first Avengers was 189, then he did 190, then 201, and then he became the regular writer at 227. And he went from 227 to 287.
Ooh, but, that's pretty solid.
Yeah, it is, except he missed issue 280. And we'll get into that in a second. And then he did annuals 13 and 14. So he's the writer here. So, yeah, he's a prominent Avengers author. And then the artist is John Buscema, and he did a bunch between issues 41 and 153, including a 14-issue run between 49 and 62. But his major run was between 255 and 300. So basically all of Stern's run, pretty much.
Kind of. Yeah, kind of. Most of it.
He missed the first 20, I guess.
Yeah.
But he also did not do issue 280.
Oh, wow.
Interesting.
Is that like Assistant Editor's Month or something?
No, it was not. But it was a unique story because you mentioned it a little earlier. Issue 280 was written by Bob Harris and drawn by Bob Hall. And it featured a hospitalized Jarvis reflecting on his time with the Avengers.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that cover for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. On the cover, he's in the hospital bed, like the Avengers' heads are all around him.
Yep.
And they're looking at him. And at the end of the issue, he decides, yes, he's going to stay on with the Avengers, even though he's been beaten to a bloody pulp.
Yeah. It's even unclear. I mean, is he Janet Van Dyne's butler now? Like, is he just whoring himself out to anybody? Like, I thought he was.
He was the Avengers' butler here. He was the Avengers boss.
Okay. It seemed like he was talking to Janet like she was his boss now.
Well, she's the leader of the Avengers now.
Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah, she was the chairwoman or whatever they called it, but she was running the team at this point. So maybe that's why. But the inker here, Buscema did breakdowns, and then the finisher was Tom Palmer, as we've discussed over the years here on the show. Basically, the difference between a finisher and an inker is if the pencils are looser, you know, not as detailed or defined, they're just breakdowns. And then the inker does extra work. So they usually get credited as a finisher there. So with Tom Palmer, 790 inking credits at Marvel. He is probably most famous for his pairing with Gene Colan on Daredevil, Doctor Strange, and Tomb of Dracula, which is a big deal.
He also in the 70s.
Yeah, he also inked Neil Adams on the Avengers and the X-Men, and his first Avengers run was from issue 74 to 97, which is when he worked with Neil Adams. And his second run on the Avengers, get a load of this, from issue 255 to issue 402.
Oh, my God.
Now, he didn't do every issue in there, but
sure.
He did like
at
least 9 out of every 10, it seemed, when I was going through it. So, yeah, he did a ton. So
That's extensive. Yeah. That's more than I think anyone does on any book. That's got to be up there.
All right, so there's the creative team for this issue. And, again, the storyline is basically that the Avengers Mansion is under siege by the Masters of Evil.
Mm-hmm.
They're very good.
Their new lineup, I guess. A new expensive lineup. Instead of usually we have five or six people. Let's just go all out and get 12 people.
Yes, let's get more people than we can possibly talk about in these issues. Let's just bring them all in.
So I think Mark Miller did that in his Marvel Knights Spider-Man. They're like, screw this Sinister Six bullshit. Here's the Sinister 12.
Just get everybody. Twice as good. Yep. So the Under Siege storyline, it's been collected in trade paperbacks and whatnot, and it includes issues 270 to 277, although the mansion doesn't get taken over until issue 273, so it seems like those other issues are kind of just tacked on to fill out the trade paperback, if you ask me. But
yeah, that sounds about right. You got to make your bucks where you can.
But and then Hercules,
you get to see I'm sure it shows the Masters of Evil getting together and him recruiting Zemo's recruiting or something
I
like
suppose,
that.
So maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
Cause the issue before this or two issues before this, they're fighting a Tuma and it had nothing to do with any of the Masters of Evil.
Oh.
But I think there was something Namor left the team or he's taking a sabbatical or something. I don't know. Cause public opinion, the people hated Namor or something. I don't know.
What was going on. Oh, that's hard to believe. He's so likable. so high.
So the mansion gets taken over in 273, and that's the famous cover from 86. Remember when they had those just big shots of people's faces, that one character's face on the cover for the 25th anniversary?
Yeah, yep, with the frame going around it.
Yep, and that one had Black Knight's face on it, so that's the issue. Oop. The mansion gets taken over. And then the next issue, Hercules.
Could have gone with. Why'd you pick Black Knight?
Hercules gets beaten into a coma in issue 274. I almost picked that one because it's pretty
good. Sure, that was a pretty good battle. Yeah.
Yeah. They just,
but sadly, as we learned in that Evolutionary War issue, the Avengers don't really care about Hercules. Whether he dies or not, pretty immaterial to them.
I'm still shocked by that. All right. So the Masters of Evil, it all starts with a fellow named Baron Zemo, but Jack, the story really goes back to the original Baron Zemo.
Yeah.
This is the second Baron Zemo. The first Baron Zemo, well, he was actually the 12th. This is very confusing. But Baron Heinrich Zemo, his first full appearance was Avengers 6 in 1964, created by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. And he was the 12th Baron Zemo, which was a title of German nobility. And he was a scientist working for the filthy Nazis during World War II.
Yeah, not a good dude.
And he developed some Adhesive X. Like a really good glue. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. The Americans are working on the Weapon X program, but
Adhesive X.
Over there, they got Adhesive X.
So if you break your coffee mug, you can fix it. Yeah, but
for Gorilla Glue.
During his time there with those filthy Nazis, Captain America fought him, and Captain America threw a shield at him, and it shattered a vat of Adhesive X that was behind him, and all the Adhesive X spilled on his head. So his mask was glued to his face.
Yeah.
And he couldn't take his mask off.
I like that it didn't, like, you know, get in his mouth and glue his mouth shut or anything like that. Like, no, just happened to stick the mask to his skin.
And, like, we should, I guess, describe what the original Zemo and the second Zemo we're talking about today, they dressed very similar. And, like, a pinkish purple outfit. And kind of like Cobra Commander in G.I. Joe, like, at least when the pull-down mask. Not the metal mask that he had. But anyway, kind of like
a pink sock face.
Or like a ski mask or something just pulled down.
Yeah, like a ski mask that kind of goes into like a collar.
Yeah, it's a cool outfit. I always liked Zemo. Yeah. You know?
It is pretty cool.
And he has no suit. Neither Zemo had superpowers. They're just, tacticians and scientists and swordsmen, I guess.
Yeah.
Like the fight with the swords. But,
I'm pretty sure the second Zemo did eventually get some kind of powers, but yeah, at least right now, not much.
I think they had something to do with like anti-aging serums or something.
Yeah, I'm sure he's definitely got to have that. Yeah.
Everyone
had to like somehow get frozen or get aged.
How could he survive?
You know, defying serums, yeah.
But this Heinrich von Zemo, the first guy there, he's responsible for Bucky's death.
Yeah, sure was.
Yeah, I forgot all about that.
It was the same thing that caused Steve to get frozen, right? Like they're both on the rocket, but Steve, you know, ended up jumping off first, whereas Bucky was like stuck to it, so it blew up with Bucky still stuck to him.
I believe it was like an airplane drone filled with explosives, and Zemo was going to fly it in to blow up something, and they, Steve Rogers and Bucky were driving on their little motorcycle with the sidecar trying to chase it down, and Bucky jumped on it. And then Steve Rogers jumped on it, and they were hanging, but it blew up, and he assumed Bucky died, and it knocked Steve Rogers into the ocean, and he froze, and there you go.
Yeah, Bucky's arm was stuck. That's why the Winter Soldier, when he comes back as the Winter Soldier, he's got that robot arm, because that arm completely got blown to shit.
Oh, see, I didn't even figure that out. All right, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I don't know why it didn't affect the rest of his body, but, you know.
But the weird thing, I should have confirmed this, but like I went back and looked at that Avengers issue 6 from way back in the day, and they show like a flashback of Captain America remembering because they pulled him out of the ice or whatever, you know. But then when they pulled him out of the ice, wasn't he wearing his Captain America outfit? But then like when the flashback, he was Steve Rogers. He wasn't in the outfit. So maybe he was just pulled out without the outfit. I don't know. I got to.
Huh.
I'll edit all this out in post.
Yeah. Somebody went in and like put him in costume. like weird. They took him out of time and had to put him back. I don't know.
Yeah. But anyway, so that Heinrich Zemo, he's the guy responsible for Bucky and Captain America eventually, you know, thawing out into our time.
Take that red skull. Zemo put you to shame.
I know. It's pretty weird. And then after the war, Zemo escaped to South America, just like a lot of Nazis. And he formed the original Masters of Evil to get revenge on Captain America. When he learned that he had survived and joined the Avengers. So he was just hanging out in South America, and then he got the newspaper and, hey, what? Captain America's back. I got to go kill this guy. So he assembled the first Masters of Evil. Do you have any idea who was on that first team?
Ooh, I feel like I'm going to base my answer off of like one of the cartoon shows rather than what was actually there, but, I'm pretty sure the Enchantress was there.
That is incorrect.
Oh, damn it. I'm already off.
Right out of the gate. The Melter. The Melter was there. He was an Iron Man villain. And then Radioactive Man.
Watch out, Radioactive Man. Too many Jillikers.
I think that's right. I think I have it. And then the Black Knight. The same Black Knight that we're in today. He was originally a villain.
Yeah. Look at that.
How about that? So that
time for the attack, I guess that makes it ironic.
So that Zemo, he ends up dying because in that, what issue did he die in? I don't know. I don't think I wrote it down, but, it was not long after in the pages of the Avengers there, he was fighting Captain America and whatnot. And he had some death ray laser gun and he like shot it at Captain America, but Captain America's shield blocked it. And I think the light off the blast somehow disoriented Zemo, I think. And like he got woozy and he just shot the laser again and it started a rock slide and it buried him and killed him.
Yeah.
So, I hate when that happens.
Yep. I had a nickel. But now that seems like that like they would definitely retcon later on, like, oh, he totally survived that rock slide and got out of it. But well, yeah, for some reason they decided to keep that one, I guess, legit and have him die.
Yeah, because he had a baby boy. He had a baby boy.
Yep.
And that's the Zemo we're talking about today. Baron Helmut Zemo. And he's the son of Heinrich. And his first appearance was Captain America 168, 1973. He is created by Roy Thomas, Tony Isabella, and Sabi Sima. But when he first tried to get revenge on Captain America for, you know, killing his father there, he called himself the Phoenix. And he dressed in this wacky red and yellow outfit. You ever see this? It's interesting. And not too dissimilar the way Captain America broke the Adhesive X and it poured on his face, his dad's face, and glued his mask to his face. This time, I think Captain America was maybe somehow responsible for a helmet falling into a vat of boiling Adhesive X. And it totally mangled his face. So he's horribly disfigured. And then he wears the mask to cover up.
I love that the Zemo family never learns. Like, maybe we just stick to, like, guns. No more adhesives.
Damn Adhesive X. So, just like his father, Baron Zemo Jr. here, he also assembles a Masters of Evil to take out, well, the Avengers, but he really just wants to get Captain America, you know?
Yeah, that's really what he's after.
Yeah, this whole plan to take over really the Avengers mansion. You know,
Dr. Druid.
he just wants Captain America. So, yeah, you mentioned this team is loaded with people. We got Goliath.
Yeah.
This fella, because when you hear Goliath, wasn't Clint Barton the original Goliath, like, technically?
Yes. No? Yep. It's true. Then there was Black Goliath.
Yeah, we did a Black Goliath issue on here.
Yeah.
It was great.
But
this Goliath is a bad guy, and his real name is Eric Jostin. Yes. And that's Eric.
Yep.
Hey. And, well, you know a lot about this guy, it sounds like.
Yeah, he made it onto the Thunderbolts. And,
there you go.
So, yeah.
All right, well, since you mentioned the Thunderbolts, tell the kids what that is, because that came along well after I was out of comic books, so I missed the whole Thunderbolt era. So why don't you explain that?
Yeah, the Thunderbolts is pretty great. I have not read the entire series, but basically it started in the aftermath of Onslaught, where they decided to reboot the Fantastic Four and the Avengers in the new Marvel, you know, Reborn, Heroes Reborn thing, where they gave it to Liefeld and Jim Lee, like that.
Yeah.
So they had all the Avengers and the Fantastic Four seemingly die fighting Onslaught, and they were essentially reborn in this other world. But that left, you know, the Marvel Universe as a whole kind of hero-less, except for, you know, like the X-Men, who nobody likes because they're mutants, and Spider-Man, who half the people don't trust because Jameson's always trashing them, and, you know, all these people that nobody really trusts, but all the public teams are gone. So, Baron Zemo had this brilliant idea where he's like, I'm going to put together a new Masters of Evil. We're going to all, you know, alter our appearances and come up with new code names and new outfits and everything. And we're going to become a new superhero team called the Thunderbolts. And we'll get everybody to trust us. We'll, you know, we'll go out, we'll solve some crimes, and we'll get everybody's public opinion in our favor. And then they'll just hand us the keys to the nuclear weapons, basically.
That seems like a hell of a... I mean, all right, I don't want to tell Zemo how to do his job. But, hey, Baron, if there are no superheroes in the world, and you have these superpowered villains, instead of pretending to be good guys, just be bad guys. No one's going to stop you. Just be bad guys.
Well, I mean, it does to a certain extent work, because, within a couple of issues, like, the city of New York has given them the Fantastic Four's, you know, Baxter Building to operate out of.
Why don't they just take it? You know, the bad guys. Just take it.
Yeah.
Who's going to stop you, Baron? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, so a good number of them, you know, actually end up liking being heroes and decide to, you know, kind of sides. Whereas Baron Zemo's just full evil, and he's like, you know, we're taking over the world. And the Avengers come back, and they, you know, kind of, just as Zemo's launching his plan. So a lot of the Thunderbolts end up helping the Avengers stop Zemo, and then it kind of evolves from there. And then eventually, like, Hawkeye kind of sees, you know, what they're trying to do. And, you know, he's like, I used to be a villain too, so I'm going to sponsor you guys and I'm going to lead you and try to keep you on the right track.
like Alcoholics Anonymous.
Yeah, pretty much.
He sponsors it. All right, so there it is.
Yeah, this Jostin guy, he became Atlas, who was a pretty good dude. Like, they saved this girl on their first adventure who was, like, not a villain at all. Like, she was just kind of being tortured, and they saved her, and she has power, so she joins the team. And Zemo's like, oh, I don't like this. But she's, like, just, you know, like, a nice teenager, and he, like, befriends her. And, yeah, it's wholesome.
Yeah, this Goliath, Eric Jost, in his first appearance, Avengers 21, 1965. He goes all the way back then. And he was known as Power Man, and he was created by Stan Lee and Don Heck.
He's taking everyone's name.
Yeah, there's also a period of time where he was known as the Smuggler.
Oh.
And as you said, Atlas, then later. All right, yeah. So Goliath.
Did he change his powers when he was the Smuggler? Because that doesn't sound very smuggly.
But yeah, his powers is he just grows real big, like a giant, you know? The old giant. And he was able to do that because the guy he was working with at one point or another got Pym particles, and you know they used it. Yeah. So Yellow Jacket is also in here. We talked about her. I can't remember when
That Evolutionary War issue.
She was on this at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's a bad lady here, and her name's Rita DeMara. And we have Moonstone. Carlos,
another Thunderbolt, future Thunderbolt.
What's her deal? Is she like
she has like two alien stones that give her essentially kind of Miss Marvel-esque powers, I want to say, like the energy manipulation, like she can fire laser blasts and fly and, you know, has super strength, that kind of thing. So she's very Miss Marvel-esque, which is why like when Norman Osborn put together his Dark Avengers, I think she was basically his Miss Marvel.
When you're talking about the Thunderbolts, I think that's what I was thinking of, Dark Avengers in my mind.
Yeah. They kind of morphed into that at a certain point, yeah.
And we have Blackout, real name Marcus Daniels, and it seems like he and Moonstone are have a thing going on.
Oh, hey now. Moonstone definitely had a thing going with Hawkeye later on, I remember that.
Oh, this Blackout fella.
Yeah, psychiatrist, so I guess she kind of, you know, gets in people's heads. And
yeah, she was apparently helping Blackout because he had some mental issues or something. I don't know. But his first appearance was Nova, issue 19, 1978, created by Marv Wolfman, Carmine Infantino, and Tom Palmer, anchor of this issue. And he was a laboratory assistant who got bathed in Dark Force energy. So he can manipulate the old Dark Force energy. It's the same... I guess, is it the same dimension that Cloak goes into and stuff?
Yeah.
Because it is the same as the Shroud. I know that much. But I forgot to check on Cloak. But it has to be, right? How many dark dimensions are there?
Yeah. It seems silly. Yeah.
But he can use dark energy to like create things and stuff and put people into dimensions. It's crazy stuff. He also has a terrible costume.
Yeah, he's not great, but they have brought him back, I think, time, even though he seemingly dies in this issue, spoiler alert, but yeah, he does come back. Like, when they did the whole Secret Empire thing, I think he put a good chunk of New York into the dark dimension. So
I think Zemo resurrected it, like he brought him back to life somehow, or at least reanimated his body or something, I don't know. Because he's very powerful, this Blackout fellow.
Yeah, he sure very is. It's like you have no way out unless you get back, like get to him and have him do it. Basically, that's about it.
Well, I did see Captain Marvel got out of it because he put her into the black dimension during the storyline, and she gets out of it by seeing like a flash of light or something, and she flies out of like the Shroud's belly or something. Like the Shroud is fighting somebody, he's using, because doesn't he open up a Shroud and, like emits dark? And I guess I don't know. She flew right out of his belly.
Well, that's pretty good.
All right.
I like
that. Next up is Mr. Hyde. He's the guy who beat up Jarvis. Calvin Zabo is his real name.
Yeah.
And he's just a big, strong, ugly-looking guy. Like Dr. Jekyll and Mr.
Hyde. Yep, they just took that and really didn't change anything. He's next, just Mr. Hyde. He drinks some potion and turns into like a crazy monster, dude.
Next, we have The Fixer, Real name, Norbert Ebersol. Oh, you seem like a Fixer fan.
He was another Thunderbolt. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He kind of stayed evil for a while. Like, he lost his body at a certain point and then, like, somehow got a new body and eventually did kind of reform, but.
Lost his body.
Yeah.
Hey, does he ever use adhesive X to fix things?
No. He learned his lesson from his boss then.
And we also have Absorbing Man.
Techno as a Thunderbolt.
We also have Absorbing Man, Carl Creel. He's great. Absorbing
Man. I love him. Yeah. Wish he was in this issue. He's great.
Yeah, he just walks around with that ball and chain and
he can turn into whatever he touches, any type of material.
Yeah.
Touch like a steel beam and turn himself into steel or, yeah, anything.
He used to be on the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show.
Yeah.
Also on this new Masters of Evil's Titania.
Oh, sure, he's white.
Baron. Yeah, that's right. In issue 275, I believe it is, Zemo hears that Hercules isn't dead yet. You know, he's just in a coma and he's in the hospital. So he sends Absorbing Man and Titania to the hospital to finish the job. But the Wasp and Ant-Man, Scott Lang, Ant-Man, they fight him off. All right, next up, Tiger Shark, real name Todd Arliss. Hey, do you like the Arliss?
Arliss.
Old Letterman gag.
That was his real name. That's pretty great.
Yeah, Tiger Shark, I don't think he appears in this issue, does he?
No, I didn't see him.
And then we have the Wrecking Crew. Our old pals, the Wrecker, Pile Driver, Thunderball, and Bulldozer.
Yeah,
we've talked about them many times on the show. We did a classic Defenders issue with them. Yeah, I love the Wrecking Crew.
Yeah, some good jobbers. They're always there.
It's tough to beat a guy with an enchanted crowbar. That's his weapon. It's pretty great.
He should go to, like, Camelot 3000.
Put a flashlight on it, and he's in the year 3000. Sorry, that's the new Masters of Evil. So with Zemo, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 members of the new Masters.
I mean, that's smart. Like, I'll give Zemo credit. That's how you do it. If you want, like... If all the supervillains like did team up like they did in like the Old Man Logan universe, like that's how you do it. If you really want to take over, you guys got to all work together and just do one coordinated attack.
All right. So besides all those villains, we do have a couple new heroes we've never talked about on the show. Captain Marvel. This is Monica Rambeau.
Yeah. And
that is Rambeau, not Rambo, like Sylvester Stallone.
Nope. She's Rambeau. Not getting any.
And her first appearance was Amazing Spider-Man, Annual 16, 1982, created by Roger Stern and John Romita Jr. And she was a lieutenant in the New Orleans Harbor Patrol, and she served as a cargo ship captain. She gained her powers after being bombarded with extra-dimensional energy produced by an energy disruptor weapon. She can now convert to any form of energy. She's also gone by the names Photon, Pulsar, and Spectrum.
Hmm. Yeah. I think she really gained her powers in a desperate bid to keep the name Captain Marvel from falling into DC's hands.
You know what? That does sound like the true story. There, I know on the recent, she was on WandaVision, right? They had a lady playing her on WandaVision. And what did they didn't, Marvel, she wasn't movie? Officially, like she just got her powers there, right? Like she didn't have a name or anything.
No.
But she was just in the new Captain Marvel movie, right?
Yep, that's what I hear.
What do they call her in that? Do you know? Is it Spectrum or?
Probably Photon. I don't know.
She's Spectrum in Marvel's Snap. I know that much.
Oh, okay.
But, So yeah, she can just change into light or any kind of energy and just fly around, and she's pretty powerful.
Yeah, I think she can be any type of energy. Like she gets real hot in this one, like melts stuff.
And she eventually became the leader of the team then, like, cause Wasp, after this storyline, Wasp steps down because she had a rough go of it for a while. And she's like, you know what? I need a break. So I'm out.
I'm going to go on reserves.
And then Captain Marvel takes over there. All right, now we also have Dr. Druid, Dr. yeah. Druid. And I like to think of him as the Fraser Crane of the Marvel Universe. That's true. Pretty much what he is. His real name is Dr. Anthony Druid. His first appearance was Amazing Adventures 1 in 1961, created by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. But back then, he was known as Dr. Droom, D-R-O-O-M. Okay.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
That's before Dr. Doom even existed. Yeah. Remember? Yeah, I know. Doug from DC. But yeah, this is pre-Dr. Doom, Dr. Droom. And he appeared in four more issues of Amazing Adventures, and then he kind of went away. A year later, Steve Ditko, who had inked Kirby's art on the Dr. Droom stories, he told Stan Lee he had an idea for a new magic-based character called Mr. Strange. Stan Lee said, you know what? I like the name Doctor from Dr. Droom. Let's call him Dr. Strange, and let's just give him like an updated version of Droom's background. So they just basically revamped Dr. Droom, made him Dr. Strange. And then for Weird Wonder Tales issue 19, 1976, Dr. Droom became Dr. Druid. But how about that?
Technically changed his last name?
Yeah, they just started calling him Dr. Druid. So if no Dr. Druid, there's no Dr. Strange. How about that?
Wow. I mean, I think they made the right choice.
That is some wild stuff.
This guy was never
going to
catch on with that hair.
Now, he
just going on.
Yeah, he's a bald guy, but he's got like hair tufts on the side of his head.
Yeah. And he's got how that goes. It doesn't work.
He's got a goatee. You know, he's pretty jacked, though, for a psychiatrist. He's in pretty good shape. Yeah. But he's a mystic. He's not a sorcerer like Doctor Strange. So he has advanced physical and mental abilities and can sense magic and perform rituals to protect against it, but he does not cast spells.
Boy, that sounds pretty useless in 99% of the battles.
But he has telepathy. He has telepathy, okay. And like he can hypnotize people.
Oh.
And he can like trick them into seeing things that aren't there, that kind of thing, you know.
So he's really good at being like, I sense that you know somebody whose name starts with like a B, maybe a K. Any of this working for you? No.
No. Yeah. Oh, wait, I have a cousin named Carl with a C. That's close. Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking of.
So anyway, he was originally a psychiatrist who becomes a physician and an author. Look at him.
Cool.
You think he's writing a book about a talking chimp?
He probably is. Beating you too.
Hey, get this. In 1995, Dr. Druid had his own four-issue miniseries.
Who was clamoring for that one?
I know. Who canceled? Dr. Druid got a miniseries.
Wow. No wonder they gave the Avengers to, like, Jim Lee. This is what we're doing.
Dr. Druid. Yeah. Okay, so there's all the background, I think, on all the key players in this book. And why don't we look at the cover, Jake?
Okay. Let me see here. Put my phone down. all right. So we got the Avengers. This is a classic looking title. I don't really associate this so much with the Avengers. I don't know what Avengers logo I picture in my brain, but I don't know. It's not really this one.
Yeah, this ain't it.
Whatever it is, this ain't it. It's weird. But then we got the corner box. We got the team there. I guess we got Namor, who is no longer on the team. So I guess you should put an X over him. But then we got the Black Knight. We got Hercules, who is, you know, MIA in the hospital there. We got the Wasp, I guess. She kind of looks like Squirrel Girl there, but I'm thinking that's the Wasp.
Yes, the Wasp. The Wasp.
And then we got Captain Marvel and Captain America. And we're celebrating the Marvel 25th anniversary, so that's cool.
Hey, real quick, you mentioned Hercules, something I forgot to mention. When Jarvis got beat up, you know, when they took over the mansion, he was the only guy there that night. And when I was thinking of the story, I was like, that is true. Like, everyone knows, all these villains know where the Avengers are. How come no one thought of this before? Let's just go to their house. know?
Yeah.
When they're asleep.
I mean, I'm sure it's fortified. It's got to have some kind of defenses, I would think.
Yeah, it does. It does have a lot of defenses. Like a normal person yeah. couldn't break in, but these supervillains didn't have much trouble. Yeah. They just stormed the gate. Yeah. But anyway, the reason why Jarvis was there alone that night, Hercules was supposed to be on security duty, like to watch things, you know?
Uh-oh. But,
well, Zemo had a plan. He had some fancy hooker make a date with Hercules. And then Hercules, he went to go party with this lady. And so he was out all night, and Jarvis got the hell beat out of him. And then Hercules, in the next issue, he shows up, and he gets out of the limo with that lady, you know, after they just tore down the town for a couple of days. And he's all drunk and stuff. Yep. And she just pumped him full of, like, booze and pills or whatever. So he's all woozy. And Captain America says, hey, you know, they know the mansion's been taken over. And they're trying to play it cool, like him and Wasp. And they're trying to be undercover, like pull Hercules into a van. And they're trying to tell him the story. Hey, Herc, we got a problem. They took over the mansion. Hercules just punches his way out of the van, storms into the mansion, and gets beat up. That's how he gets put in a coma.
Oh, that's awesome. I mean, I can kind of see why they weren't so concerned when he died in Evolutionary War.
It's kind of a jerk.
Yeah, not contributing much to this team, I guess.
I like Zemo. He knows his weakness. Get him a fancy call girl.
I mean, I wish he would have just gotten Jarvis a nice hooker, too, instead of, like...
That would have been preferable. But
beat him up. The crap out of him.
I mean, everybody was giving it to Hercules. I mean, the Wrecking Crew were just unloading on him. Hyde was beating. It was quite the beating that he took.
Yeah, 14-on-1 beating. Yeah, that's tough.
All right, so I just wanted to mention that point about Hercules. All right, Jank, take it away.
Yeah, so then we get a shot of the ruined mansion there. And fighting in the rubble, we got Baron Zemo, who's got like a steel beam. So maybe he is super strong because it's going to be tough to pick up a giant steel girder. But he's about to swing down on Captain America with it. And Captain America is trying to block it with his good arm instead of
without
using
the shield.
Yeah. I don't know about that choice, but.
well, I think he's going to twist maybe. He's just getting ready to twist to throw the shield.
Pounce.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. And then see everyone else down.
People, yeah. Like just laying about, I guess they've all been knocked out, but I mean, the Wrecker really looks like he's having a good nap there. Like he's curled up with like one of the pieces of debris as a pillow. He looks very comfy. But Thor is kind of laying there with Mjolnir in his hand. We've got Goliath laying there, Dr. Druid there, and Blackout. They're all just kind of piled up in the rubble.
Yeah, it's an interesting cover. It was tough to get a good shot of this for the thumbnail. This video, just because of the way things are spaced.
So spread out, yeah.
Like, I can see what he's doing here, and this is Buscema and Palmer. Like, he's going, like, with a U composition around the wreckage and the people in the front, and then you got, you know, Captain America's team, but there's just so much sky, and there's not, it's an odd.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I guess you don't want a lot of cool stuff going on in the top in the sky area because you got the logo and everything, so I can see, you know, not trying to fill that space too much.
I don't know. It just seemed a little weird. But anyway, so there's the cover. And it's not bad. But you see, hey, look at all these people knocked out. I got to read this. All right, we open it up, and it says, the price of victory. And we see Goliath. He's just holding Thor in his hand like a little puppet.
Like an action figure, yeah. Got me a little Thor action figure.
Then in the background, Thunderball and Bulldozer, I believe. Or smashed down on the ground there. And Captain America's there without a shield because Baron Zemo has a shield.
Yeah. That's not going to sit well.
So, like, I can't remember what issue it was. It was the previous issue, the Avengers rally, and they storm the mansion and they start a big fight. So they're trying to take the mansion back, and this is the second half of that fight. But I think the issue maybe before that, Captain America was also captured. And he was tied up, and he was made to watch them beat up Jarvis.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's pretty
dark. And then, like, Zemo was, he took a shield, and he was also ripping up old photos and letters from his memories and whatnot. So, I was going to use a word there, and I couldn't think of it. His old army footlock.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Anyway.
Yeah, it's pretty tough.
So
we'll learn about that at the end of this issue.
So Thor, to get out of Goliath's hand, he just smacks him in the fingers with Mjolnir, and then he pushes him down. Yeah, Thor and Goliath have quite the fight here at the beginning of the issue. And while they're still tussling, the Wrecker comes by. And in the previous issue, Thor somehow took all the powers away from the Wrecking Crew except for the Wrecker. Like, the way Captain America explains an issue is very confusing. But
apparently all that drained power went into the Wrecker now, since he's the only one left. Like, somehow there's the power that was split between the four of them is now combined all into him.
Yeah, somehow, like, Thor zapped them, because, again, their powers come from Loki and their own chance. So he, like, zapped them and, like, took the powers away from the other Wrecking Crew members through... The way they describe it is he took the powers through Wrecker. So I don't know what that meant, but I guess maybe it knocked out Wrecker, too, at the moment, because he got overpowered. Because it seems like he's just waking up here or something. But all the other Wrecking Crew members are KO'd. But now the Wrecker is, like, four times as strong, and he's fighting Captain America.
Yeah, that seems like a bad choice. But what are you going to do? Desperate times.
Yeah, he doesn't even have a shield either, you know?
So he's mostly just kind of ducking. Like, he'll swing the crowbar, he just kind of ducks out of the way. Maybe he'll tire himself out. Do the Clubber Lang strategy.
He'll rope-a-dope. So now we cut down to the basement of the mansion, and Jarvis looks terrible. He is just crushed there on the ground. And this Ant-Man is Scott Lang, and the Wasp is there, and Black Knight is there. Black Knight was also taken prisoner, and he was beaten up as well. But now Wasp snuck in, and Ant-Man snuck in, you know, because they're little tiny, like insects, you know? Mm-hmm. And so they could get into the mansion, and they're trying to, they get the Black Knight, and they're trying to help Jarvis out. And what do they do now, Jank? The Wasp and Black Knight?
They see, they're trying to go to the stairway, but it's all blocked because there's a bunch of debris. So they kind of are like, oh, hey, we'll both take care of this, because they're kind of like bickering a little bit. Like, Black Knight wants to be part of this, but he's like too injured. And she's like, how about you just sit this one out? He's like, no, I can cut through this with my ebony blade. And she's like, oh, boy, this guy.
His ebony blade.
And I think she finally convinces him to, like, go hang back. Like, let me handle this.
Well, that's the weird thing. They show them, like, they come upon all this debris blocking their way. So Wasp zaps it with her bioenergy blast or whatever. And he hits it with the ebony blade. And they can, like, hear Goliath and Thor fighting on the other side. But then, like, Black Knight just, that's the last we see of him until the end. Like, he just disappears from the story.
He's like, I pulled a groin muscle swinging that ebony blade around.
I guess when he saw Goliath, he's like, oh, yeah, you know what? I'm out of here. You can handle that, Wasp. Fight that guy.
The choices are Goliath or a four times as powerful Wrecker. I think I got a, you know, sprained ankle.
Yeah, I'm going to go hang out with Jarvis. So so we still see Thor and Goliath fighting. Thor's jumping around like a little monkey, staying away from Goliath. And but he's cracking him with Mjolnir right in the face. He hits him, bang. and he tells Wasp is like, Thor. And Thor's like, hey, speak softly, Janet. I shall draw Goliath's attention away, that you may ascend and aid Captain America. Goliath is mine.
Yeah.
So now we cut to Captain America and the Wrecker. They're still fighting. And like you said, Cap's just dodging. He can't do anything else. And Wrecker, hey, very similar to the way Heinrich von Zemo died. Because Wrecker swings at Captain America but causes a cave-in on himself. So a bunch of rubble falls on him. Captain America's like, that's done now. Done with Wrecker. But now Wrecker just pops right up again.
Yep. I was going to kill you fast, but now I'm going to make it slow. You hear me? You're going to eat this bar. Uh-oh.
They eat this bar. So now we see Yellow Jacket is, this is kind of a flashback to last issue because this same scene is shown in the previous issue, basically.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So a Yellow Jacket, there's like a ship down there somewhere, and they're going to try and get the ship to fly away. But Captain Marvel, unbeknownst to Yellow Jacket, monkeyed with all the electronics in the ship so it can't fly, I guess. But Zemo goes up on the roof then of the Avengers Mansion to try and see what's going on with Blackout, because Blackout had put this big black energy cube around the mansion to keep everybody out.
Get in, yeah.
But somehow it like went down for a little bit, and then Dr. Druid is now up there on the roof, and I can't even remember because I read the previous issue. I don't think he took out Blackout. I can't remember who did, though. I think Captain Marvel may have. I can't remember. Anyway, Blackout's on the...
He was just there to, like, watch over the body. Like, that's all he could do.
Yeah, pretty much. But Blackout's passed out on the roof. Zemo knows how powerful Blackout is, you know, so he's got to get the Blackout. And so he shoots Dr. Druid in the back with the gun he calls the Needler.
Needler. Yeah. I think that was a weapon in Halo, I think.
Shoot him with the Needler. So Druid, and Druid is not
tattoo on his back now.
We should mention Druid is not an official member of the team at this point. He actually
just helping out.
He just showed up. He was doing a tour for his book, and he was getting ready to go on some talk show. And he heard on the news that the Avengers were in trouble, and he's like, "Oh, I should go help the Avengers." So he just shows up here. Yeah.
That would be great if like David Arquette also just showed up. He was also doing a talk show.
But they knew of Dr. Druid. They've had encounters with him, but he wasn't an official member of the team until after this storyline. Then he joins the team. But Zemo shoots him with the Needler. He picks up Black Bolt. He's trying to talk some sense into him there. Yellow Jack is finding out that the ship's not working. And then Zemo's thinking, man, what's going on? I'm in trouble here. My plan's falling apart. We should also mention he has Captain America's shield strapped to his back.
Yeah. He's pretty cool. I like how his thought balloon says, "Confound that woman."
And he's trying to like bring Black Bolt around or Blackout around. Yeah. He's like, yes, Blackout, you can save the day for us. You can defeat our enemies. You can send them away, mansion and all, into the Dark Force dimension. But Jank, oh, go ahead.
I like how Blackout's costume is like Electro, but like,
worse. You
know, only a little bit. Like, we can't go full Electro. You just get one little squiggle on your mask.
Yeah, it's like a dark blue black outfit with lightning bolts, but his face, like a yellow lightning bolt right across the eyes, kind of the bottom, and then it just shoots off up to the top.
Mm-hmm.
Not a good look.
Especially if you're not like an electric based guy, you're all just about dark dimensions, like.
Yeah, that's also a very good point. Why does he have lightning bolts if he's Blackout?
Yeah.
Very strange. Anyway, what does Dr. Druid do here, though, Jack?
Oh, he tries to get in Blackout's mind. He's like, Zemo doesn't care about you. He cares only about your space warping powers. He doesn't know like what you watch at night. He doesn't care. He's never sat down to watch, you know. What was popular at this time? Alf?
Yeah, they can't Netflix and chill back then.
Yeah.
But hey, 86 was the heyday for Alf, so that was a good call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you want to be used? And he's like, Blackout's like, no. And he starts standing up to Zemo. He's like, you can't force me to do your bidding anymore.
But we should mention that Zemo, besides the pink ski mask thing he wears, he also has like these golden like headband thing around his head with these things on the side of his head. And in one of the previous issues, the Fixer rigged him up, so it gave him like an extra mental edge on Blackout, so he could control him mentally with the use of his headband or something. And so that's what he's trying to do here, is take back control of Blackout.
It is strange. Like, I wonder, like, is Blackout not really a villain? Like, why didn't he just try to talk him into this? Like,
yeah, I don't know much about this Blackout fella. I do know that I said, Moonstone and him were like together, and it seemed like Moonstone was kind of controlling him, and Zemo did not like the fact that Moonstone was controlling him, because when he first got the Masters of Evil together, Moonstone stood up during their first meeting and she said, "Hey, why do we even need you? You know, like, there's 13 of us here."
That sounds like Moonstone, actually.
And And I forget what he said to Tucker, but he said something.
Oh,
that's what he did. He took over Blackout, and Blackout wrapped her up in Black Force energy.
Oh.
And he says, like, hey, see, I got control of Blackout now. And she's like, okay, okay, I got it, I got it. So that's what happened. All right, so now we come back to the Wrecker and Captain America. They're still fighting, and Thor's still beating up Goliath. Cracks him again in the – man, this Goliath can take a punch. He's getting smacked by Mjolnir left and right.
He sure was confident that he could take on Thor. He's like, oh, I may have needed all those other villains to take down Hercules, but I could totally take on Thor by myself. Like, I feel like Thor is, you know, a bigger challenge than Hercules. No offense to Hercules, but.
Yeah, he's got a hammer. So, yeah. But Goliath says, you know what I need to do? I need to get even bigger. I'm just going to get even bigger. So yep. he gets.
That's all I got.
He pops up right through the roof of the mansion. So now he's enormous. And we see Yellow Jacket's falling down because that ship she was in gets toppled over or something. And she's falling around. And then Wasp, though, when Wrecker's looking at Captain America, Wasp comes up and zaps him in the head a few times. Like just being an annoying little bug to him. And he's like, hey, what the hell? And then Captain America punches him. Crack.
Yeah. Bam.
And then Thor cracks Goliath in the head with Mjolnir one more time. And I think this time.
This one seems to do the trick, yeah. He's finally
got enough
KOs him. That, yeah.
So, well, he's falling down backwards. Captain America punches Wrecker and Wasp zaps him. And he falls beneath Goliath and Goliath smushes him. Falls
off. Yep. Even though he's four times as strong, he apparently cannot lift up this giant man.
So then the army shows up because they had all been outside the mansion, like the area had been cordoned off, you know, and so the army's now.
Yeah, I guess because of the whole Dark Force dimension, they couldn't get in. But I don't know why they've been slacking these last couple minutes when it's been down.
Well, they wanted to make sure Goliath was taken care of before they ran in. So, hey, that big guy fell down. We can go in now. So
yeah, everyone's down.
And Captain America is like, whoa, hold it there, fellas. You're going to walk right into a pit, like a giant hole.
Yeah, a 50-foot drop. They're like, oh, yeah, we didn't see that. We're all
we dumb. Didn't look down. I never thought to look down. We were just going to run right in there.
They never taught us that. The army, look where you're going. What?
But down in that pit is where that ship was, and Yellow Jacket comes out. And she's like, yeah, I know when I'm beat. And she tosses her helmet down. She's done. It's like, I'm done with this crap.
I like that she's practical, at least. I don't know how she made it onto the team at a certain point, but.
Yeah, this is supposed to be the masters of evil, not like the novices of evil. She seems like a rookie. I don't know.
Yeah.
And after this is when she became good then, right?
I think so. Yeah, maybe she reformed in prison. Like, yeah, you know, maybe this wasn't for me.
Yeah, because this was 86. The Evolutionary War was, what, like 88, 89, something like that.
Yeah.
All right, then we cut over to Captain Marvel. She's been chasing Moonstone in the previous issue, and no jive, Moonstone just flew directly into a cliff, like a mountain. Boom, head first.
Ooh.
And she broke her neck.
Yeah, she sure did.
Yeah. It's, she's laying there, you know, on her back, and Captain Marvel's like, hey, don't move. You may have broken your neck because you just went head first into that rock like an idiot. And Moonstone's like, oh, you know what? You have a good point.
Captain Marvel, like, jump out of the way at the last second or something?
Not that I recall.
She just, like, flat out didn't see it. Like, those army guys didn't see the 50-foot drop, didn't see – Moonstone didn't see that giant mountain right there.
Yeah. So what does she tell her? She says, oh, Zemo did that. He dominates Blackout now. And Captain Marvel says, Zemo, oh, Lord. So – I don't understand why this was a shock to Captain Marvel. Didn't they know Zemo's behind all this?
Yeah. Yeah, that's weird. I don't know.
So now we come back and we see Zemo still fighting for control of Blackout. A bunch of pink energy crackling around him and stuff. And then there's Dr. Druid. He's still on the ground.
Still trying to, like, you know, life coach Blackout through this crisis, basically. Giving him some radio advice, Fraser Crane style.
But Zemo, so they're both fighting for Blackout's mind there, and Dr. Druid says, mentally to Blackout, he's like, Blackout, beware, I cannot help you further until I fight off the paralysis because that needler paralyzed him. You know? You're subjecting yeah. yourself to tremendous psychic strain. There could be life-altering effects. Run if you must. And Blackout says, no, I won't run anymore. I will resist. And Zemo doubles his efforts.
Adapt, idiot. You are nothing without my substance. Was it my sustenance? My guidance. My you guidance. Cannot resist me. I am your master.
And so naturally, Blackout's head explodes. He grabs his head and falls to the ground there. And you think, oh, man, he must have passed out. And then Zemo goes over to him. He says, Blackout, rise and obey me. You must. Blackout? Mein Gott, he's dead.
Yeah. He fought me so hard that he's, you know, like an aneurysm or something.
Yeah, massive cerebral hemorrhage. Death was near instantaneous, is how Dr. Druid describes it. And then, hey, the needler wore off. Dr. Druid's standing now.
Yeah, what timing?
And he says, you. Zemo's like, you, but the needler should have kept you paralyzed for hours. You must be responsible for this. Somehow you forced Blackout to defy me. And he says, no, I merely unshackled his mind. Once free, it was Blackout's own decision to resist you. And Zemo speaks for everybody reading this. Who are you? You're no Avenger.
True, such is not my honor, but I owe the Avengers a great debt. They gave me an advance on my book sales.
They gave me this dopey robe I wear all the time. And so Captain Marvel shows up, and she just left Moonstone her broken neck on the rocks. And she comes back, and Zemo tries to shoot her with the needler, but she just turns into energy, you know, goes right through her. And then she grabs his guns and just melts them.
Yeah.
She's tough. So Zemo picks up the Captain America's shield. She's like, that shield ain't going to stop me. But then, Jank, Captain America and Wasp show up.
Yep.
And, well, first thing Wasp says, Dr. Drew, what the hell are you doing here? Who canceled? We don't need you. And he's like, hey, don't worry, I'm here. And then Captain America says, hey, Captain Marvel, I got this one. Just me and
yeah.
Zemo.
It's like Lethal Weapon, where Mel Gibson's just going to fight Gary Busey. All the other cops just stand around.
Yeah, Captain Marvel takes a step back. Druid stays. It's just Zemo versus Captain America one-on-one, and Zemo's got the shield.
Up on a rooftop. I will slay you with your own shield.
But Zemo, he's not, you know, he's not an expert with the shield. You know, he's grabbing it with both hands and swinging it.
Yeah. Like, kind of charging like a bull and kind of, yeah, I don't know. No, not a melee weapon guy, apparently.
So Captain America sidesteps, puts a right hook into his belly there, and then he dodges the shield again, cracks him with the left hand, and now Captain America starts thinking back to when Bucky died on that little rocket plane or whatever it was, the drone. And he's like, I owe your daddy one for this. Boom! And he punches him with another left hand, rocks Zemo. And now he flashes back. He sees Hercules in the hospital. He's like, you did that to my buddy. I'm going to beat the hell out of you, Zemo. And then he thinks back to watching Mr. Hyde beat the hell out of Jarvis while he was tied up. And he cracks him with another left hand. How about Captain America? Three lefts. Yeah, I didn't know he was so left hand dominant.
Yeah, apparently. Must be his drawing hand. He's drawing those cartoons.
All right, Jake. So now Zemo, he's all but KO'd. He's knocks silly, but he's right on the edge of the building. And why don't you tell us what happens from here?
Well, his last ditch effort is he's going to throw the shields at Captain America, which, you know, probably isn't a good idea. He seems pretty <in that thing. laughs> But he's like, yeah, you lie, Captain America. He was a good man, a genius. It was you who ruined his life, who drove him mad. So he's blaming Captain America for his father's death. And, Captain America's like, no, your dad was nuts, and he, you know, I didn't kill him. Like, he was his own weapon that caused that cave-in. It was all his fault anyway.
I just glued his mask to his face.
Yeah. Just like I did with you. That's fine. So he was like, liar! Liar! And he lunges at Captain America. And Captain America then kind of just punches him with the shield. With practiced precision, the veteran Avenger shields his throat from Zemo's madly clutching fingers. But then, as the Master of Evil stumbles back, Zemo, look out! Your hand! Give me your hand! No! And he falls off the side of the building, lands in a pile of rubble, and it's like, oh, guess that's it for Zemo.
Yeah, do you think that no or, was him, like, exclaiming, no, I'm falling, or no, I'm not giving you my hand?
Yeah, that's what I took it as. Yeah. Final act,
I like fine. I like the no, I'm not giving you my hand. I'd rather die than have you save me, you know?
Baller move right
there. I think, you know, we forgot to mention, though, that he does throw the shield at Captain America, and he just catches it, like, real cool.
Yeah.
And, I need nothing. And, but yeah, so Zemo is dead. Oh, interesting note. Zemo's dad died under rocks. This Zemo dies on top of rocks.
Yeah.
He falls on the debris.
So he's also not dead either.
Yeah, he does not die here.
No. They kind of mention it here. They're like, oh, yeah, he may be fatally injured, but they're leaving it open for sure, even at this point. They're not committing to it either way.
So Captain America walks off, and then, yeah, we see the police and all the news crews are there now. The Wrecking Crew are being let out in chains, and there's a TV news guy trying to interview people. We see Wasps. Jarvis is getting carried to on a stretcher to an ambulance. Says Black Knight.
Black Knight, yep.
And
they're asking the Wasp for a comment, and she's the team leader. She's like, I'm not going to say anything right now. We're busy.
She goes over to talk to Captain Marvel and Thor. And they're like, hey, anyone seen Cap? Oh, this is where we learned that Moonstone broke her neck. But Wasp says she's lucky there was little spinal cord damage. So that's good.
Yeah, she'll walk again.
I guess Captain Marvel had called for paramedics to go to the place where she broke her neck before she, so that was nice. And then they're like, hey, where's Cap? And they go to find Cap. Captain Marvel goes to find Cap, and he's on his knees over all his look, there's a baseball that's ripped up the inside.
Yeah, autographed by Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig, it says.
And Zemo's such a jerk. And he tore up all his newspapers and all his photos, including a photo
of his magazine mom. With like picture of Betty Grable where she was showing some ankle that Cap like used every night. Oh man, what is he gonna do now?
And Captain Marvel's like, hey, Cap, what's going on, Steve? And he says, I didn't think it would hurt Monica. Zemo took pictures from my Foot Locker and tore them up before my eyes. And it didn't matter. Not then. The Avengers were in danger. Lives were at stake. For all I cared, Zemo might have been ripping up old train schedules. But now, he's crying. This was the only photo I ever had of my mother. She didn't take having her picture, or she didn't like having her picture taken, and now gone, trashed like everything else.
I mean, the good news is it's only ripped in two pieces, and you can pretty easily tape it back together.
If you squint, his mom looks a little bit like Flo from Alice.
Yeah, I can see that. You can just watch Alice reruns then. Yeah, that's all you need.
And he's like, look at me. Jarvis and the Black Knight were both severely beaten. Hercules is in a coma. They could have been killed. Blackout was killed. Zemo. And here I am, crying over some old papers and photos. And Captain Marvel tries to talk him down. And she's like, you know, they're more important than that to you, Steve, you know? These are your past, you know? It's who you are. It's your memories. They're very important. So she tries to sue things for their Captain America there. And would you like to play the part of Captain Marvel or just...
Sure. Those weren't just photos, Steve. They were little pieces of your past. Don't feel guilty or ashamed. This has been a terrible loss for you.
Yeah. That'd be like if someone deleted all my past fake radio shows.
Or if Larry just came to your house and ripped up your Oscar cutout.
How dare you? You'd never happen. One of us would die before that happened. But and she says, we have to help each other salvage what we can from the past and rebuild for the future. And he says, you're right, Monica. Come on, let's get out of here.
Want to have a catch?
Well, I would, but Zemo destroyed your baseball. So, so next issue, New Avengers, Old Avengers, and Plenty of Pressure.
Ooh, that sounds good, but I looked at it. It really didn't look very good. Seemed like it was more a Tuma or some kind.
Yeah, I was going to say, aren't they fighting a Tuma again?
Yeah. That's too much Tuma, especially if Namor's not even on the team anymore. What do we need all these Tuma stories for?
We need more Tuma. All right. So there it is. Avengers 277, the final installment of the Under Siege saga.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
Well, I mean, we're only reading the last part of this multi-issue story, so it's hard to get a full scope of it, but I did enjoy it. It was well written. For the most part, I mean, there's some things where it's like, oh, okay, Black Knight just disappeared.
Yeah. When Black Knight's just not mentioned again. What happened there? And there's a lot of stuff where they just cut corners or like, oh, this happened here and this happened there. And
yeah.
You're not going to see it though. But
for the most part, I mean, the big pieces were there. They had, you know, they set up Thor versus Goliath and Captain America versus the Wrecker, and they paid both of those off. You found out what happened with both of those battles, and then you got a good Cap versus Zemo, which is the battle we've all been waiting for. So
that was good.
Even the end, which, you know, kind of got sentimental there with Captain America crying over his stuff. It's like, yeah, this is good. This is effective. It's touching my heart.
I also really like the ending as well. And but the Zemo Captain America thing was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a lot to like.
Battle where you're thinking back on all your, you know, past fights together and stuff like that. That's always good.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked a lot of punching, a lot of Thor beating the hell out of Goliath with a hammer. So,
yeah.
I like this a lot. And John Buscema's art, always good, you know, and so very dynamic. It's great watching him draw people punching each other. Awesome.
So, yeah, he's got a knack for that. I'll give him that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I liked it a lot. Now, the downside, Dr. Druid.
Yes. Yeah, that's not good. That's not what you want. But, I mean, I guess it gives me a little more respect for Dr. Druid that he just showed up, you know, didn't have anything to do with this, wasn't even on the team, and just like, I guess I'll go help out the Avengers.
Is this the worst Avengers team when you think about it? Like, if you include Dr. Druid, although I guess next issue, Dr. Druid officially becomes a team member. Also, She-Hulk comes aboard.
Yeah.
And,
I mean, by the time they had that split, wasn't the team just like, I think it was Thor, Dr. Druid, She-Hulk, and maybe one other person. So that's gotta be the worst lineup ever. I mean, you got Thor, which is good, but yeah.
I'm not a fan of the Monica Rambeau either. Just, I don't know. She's fine. I just don't like her that much.
Yeah. Kind of, you know, just the basic energy powers. It's kind of.
I don't like her. I don't like Hercules either, just in general.
Yeah. Unless you're doing like a story that really involves Hercules, he kind of feels out of place for the most part.
Yeah.
You're doing
just
a story about him out there drinking and, you know, getting with.
Yeah, I do like that. All right. I do like that aspect of Hercules when he's out carousing the fancy call girls, getting drunk. That's cool. But just in general, not a huge Hercules guy.
Yeah.
Not a huge Monica Rambeau fella, not a huge Dr. Druid. So yeah, this team's, I kind of like Black Knight.
Yeah. There's potential with the Black Knight for sure.
Yeah. Wasp is fine, you know?
Yeah, she's okay.
I love Captain America. But yeah, there's no Iron Man in this team. There's no, like Namor just left. Yeah. Namor comes back.
West Coast at this point?
Oh, yeah. When did the West Coast come in? Yeah, I guess probably, right?
Yeah, it must be.
So, but anyway, yeah, not the best era of Avengers, but this is a good storyline. You got a good writer with Roger Stern, good artist John Buscema, and the inking by Tom Palmer. So it's a good era in Avengers, even though the team's not good, I would say.
Yeah, and the concept, like we mentioned, is really good of just having a bunch of villains team up and taking a run at their headquarters. Like, how have we not done this before in the last 25 years of Marvel? But yeah,
and we finally get that snooty Jarvis. We finally get to see him get what he deserves. So yeah. So. Yep. I'll go 8 out of 10 for Avengers 277.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not going to argue with you. I think that's a good score. That's very solid. Yeah. I think I like the art a little bit less than you, but for the most part, you know, damn good.
It's not like, I don't know if Palmer's the best anchor for Buscema. And again, these are, he's finishing here, so he's doing more than just, normal winking. So it is more Tom Palmer mixed in with John Buscema, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's not the best Buscema you see, but it's still, the figures are dynamic and everything. So I'm a big fan. All right.
Captain America looks really cool when he's kind of kneeling and crying there at the end. Like, there's definitely some really good stuff in here.
So, all right, Cenk, next week, it's your pick.
Oh, yeah, it is. What do you got? I had a couple of different ways I wanted to go. I wasn't sure what to do. But I think based off of our last two issues, this one seemed like the best logical choice. Because last week we did Predator, which is, you know, a movie monster. And this week we did an Avengers book. So I figured the next logical step is to do a book that combines the two. And we're going to do Godzilla number 23.
What the what?
Yeah. Marvel Godzilla.
I had no idea. Is this from the 70s? Yeah. Or?
Yep, 1977 series. This is probably like 79 or so by the time I got to issue 23. But yeah, this is the Avengers and the Fantastic Four versus Godzilla.
What?
Yeah.
Sounds awesome.
I know, Dum Dum Dugan's in it, like J. Jonah Jameson's in it, like everybody's in this thing, so. Real Marvel who's who.
You said issue 23? Is that right?
Yeah, number 23.
All right, Godzilla, issue 23. Yeah, I'm excited for this. I had no idea.
Yeah. He doesn't look very Godzilla-like, so that's one strike against it, but.
He's like 5 foot tall, or how does he look?
I think they did actually do that in this series at one point. Like, they shrunk him down, and, like, the Fantastic Four had to, like, fix him and put him back to normal size somehow. But, yeah, he looks kind of weird.
Like, when you said Godzilla, initially I was like, well, I didn't even know Godzilla had a comic book. But then I had the picture in my head of the old 70s one.
Yeah.
But I had no idea they crossed over into the other Marvel heroes, though. So.
Yeah.
All right, so next week, Godzilla, issue 23. And once again, if you're watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe. We appreciate the support. And until next week, don't get any jank on you.